This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The evidence for Jack the Ripper, being discussed by Brian Young, who is taking his time to learn the facts behind the legend. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was talking about this mysterious shawl with the DNA of Aaron Kosminski. Sure, you can pull up anything you want without a peer-reviewed test or without double-checking your results. I'm not saying they're lying, I'm just saying the media might have reported on things that weren't complete. Go figure, when's that ever happened? Other great prominent suspects, Montague John Druitt, who was a barrister and a teacher, who family claimed he was the Ripper after he had killed himself. The problem is, he was a cricketer who was out of town on some of the events, and the reason his family may have believed he was the Ripper is because they may have also believed he was what at the time was called a deviant mind, euphemism for gay. And if someone was a homosexual, obviously they were capable of committing a murder in Victorian mindsets. So nothing about Druitt makes sense. Other than, you know, the family said, we think he might have done it because he was obviously sick enough. There's a very interesting suspect, and I say this, and it's going to sound like I'm just trying to promote myself, but I'm not. But there's a very interesting suspect called Dr. Francis Tumblety. He's a quack physician, born in Ireland but raised in America. He's an Indian herb doctor. He claimed at different points in his life to be of nobility. He claimed to be the son of a prominent doctor. He claimed to be a surgeon. He claimed to be the surgeon for Abraham Lincoln. He rode his horse into the Lincoln inauguration parade once. A very crazy character. He also was very twisted, sick man. We have evidence he had threatened people by saying you should be disemboweled like the whores. He was known to hold knives to people's throats. He was in London with an office during all of the killings. He was arrested on gross indecency and skipped bail right after the last killing to come back to New York. Scotland Yard sent detectives following him. Gross indecency was basically a sodomy charge. I don't think Scotland Yard is going to spend the money to send two detectives to watch him overseas and chase him down over a sodomy charge. He remained a suspect. Three top Scotland Yard officials had named him as a top suspect. He, by all evidence, was starting to suffer from tertiary syphilis at the time, going mad, getting crazier and more wild and reckless. He had an absolute hatred of women. And there's about 100 other things that make him a very, very likely suspect. Do I think that means he was Jack the Ripper? No idea. I think he's the likely suspect. I think he was there. He makes sense. He fits the profile. But I will never say with 100% accuracy it was him because we have no way of knowing for sure. I did assist in the research on two books about Tumblety, and there's a third in the works. If you'd like, after the show's over, I can give you the detail of that author, maybe get him on to do an entire episode on Tumblety because he's worth an entire episode, believe me. I just scratched the surface. He was also arrested in the conspiracy of the Lincoln assassination, by the way, as if the story doesn't get more interesting. Oh, yeah, he was friends with John Wilkes Booth, who hung out with him in Buffalo, New York. Would you like more? There's so much on Tumblebee. He's such a great character.
He's an interesting character, isn't he?
He is. I suggest you guys reach out. I'll get you the information for Michael Hawley, probably the leading Tumblebee expert in the world. I think he knows more about Tumblebee than Tumblebee's family did, and that's scary.
Out of everybody that, you know, was looked into, did Scotland Yard ever have a favorite?
Different people at Scotland Yard had different favorites.
Mm-hmm.
There was one Scotland Yard official who actually had said, Kosminski, do we know the man Aaron Kosminski? No. But he also claimed that Kosminski was gone, arrested. The only Kosminski, then the reason we think Aaron Kosminski is because the only Kosminski we could find who was put in an asylum at that point was this Polish barber named Aaron, who apparently was relatively calm. His worst bit of madness was he, you know, heard voices and were able to eat food out of the gutter. Doesn't necessarily make you serious. But I think Tumblebee was considered a very likely suspect by some. And then there were some others that were considered suspects, again, because of the time. We didn't have profiling. We didn't know as much about human behavior. You know, there were people who were being arrested for crimes such as this because they were homosexual.
Right.
Because if you're deviant enough to be a homosexual, you're deviant enough to hack people up. And that's disgraceful, and I'm so glad we've advanced beyond that thinking. Unfortunately, we don't know for sure who they all agree on, and a lot of the records were destroyed.
There was one suspect, and I can't remember the name or anything like that, but it was somebody who had immigrated, I think, to the United States, and then was, for other reasons, was sent to the gallows, and this just could be an anecdotal story, you know, as the floor went out from underneath him, he started to yell, "I'm Jack the..."
Yeah, I'm Jack Tripper, as they were hanging him, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be urban legend. I have said that, but oh, there's so many wild theories. Sadly, we'll never know. We'll just never know for sure, unless we get that time machine, like I said. So get your DeLorean out of the garage. We gotta get back to 1888. But if we get that time machine up and running, can we please stop in 1920 first? That's something I've been fascinated about.
Oh, okay. What happened in 1920?
In 1920, in my beloved hometown area.
Which is?
I'm from the greater Western New York area.
Okay.
Buffalo, Tonawanda area. In Ooh. North Tonawanda, New York.
And just as we're doing this show, they're now under, like, what, about 2 or 3 miles of snow.
Yeah, I had to climb the snowbanks just to get to my computer today. I was lucky. I'm in a section of the town that didn't get hit that bad. But just up the road, there is 8 feet of snow.
Whew.
In the summer of 1920, North Tonawanda, New York, may have had its own Mothman.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not, as Ripley would say.
Okay, now I don't think I've ever heard this story before.
It's not very well known. I stumbled upon this. There's a local historian and paranormal researcher in the Buffalo area named Mason Winfield. I recommend people pick up his books, watch his stuff on YouTube. He's a really fun paranormal historian. And he did a series about strangest things in this area, and one of them was this thing called the 1920 incident, in which there was a Mothman-like saying, "I love cryptids. Love cryptids."
Hey, guys, let's do our break here, and we'll have a lot more to talk about with the one and only, Accept No Substitutes, okay? Brian Young with Gene and with Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had thought my bowel and related organs were working well enough. I used an herbal laxative and magnesium sulfate about once a week, but my bowels had a day when they went on vacation. After the second day of using Green Meadow Whey, I discovered that I was in denial about my bowel functioning. I now have 2 to 3 easy, comfortable, and healthy bowel movements a day. The same is true for my children, ages 8, 13, and 15, all of which admitted to having significantly improved bowel function when asked.
On a Google keyword search, the words constipation, stool softener, and laxative combined are searched up to 3 million times per month. Constipation is a silent epidemic in America, and most people are either in denial or do not want to admit to it. Over the years, Green Meadow Whey has helped several other people have their bowels move again in an optimal manner. For the feeling of a clean intestinal tract and flat abdomen, see if Green Meadow Whey can help you. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Taking it seriously, looking at the ins and the outs of the infamous Jack the Ripper case, which turns out, Brian says, to be real. Now, to this day, we have theories, but to this day, do we know who did the deed? Really?
No. And we never will. unless we get that time machine.
Yeah, but that way, you've got all these books that can be written where everybody's trying to prove their point on their own favorite.
Exactly. We have a mystery that will be ongoing as long as time goes on, because sadly, physical evidence is all gone. There's no DNA evidence there's everything that we pretty much think we have, that we could find about it, we have. Unless in someone's attic we find it, something someone wrote that says, hey, I killed these people at this time, and they give details, it's not going to happen. They thought that happened with a diary that was found several years ago, but people believe that's a hoax too. So sadly, we'll never know for sure. We can have strong speculation, but we'll never know. So beware anybody who ever says, case closed.
I think, was that the diary that the author, is it Patricia Cornwell?
Well, no, Patricia Cornwell.
Yeah.
Had a very interesting theory about the artist Walter Sickert.
That's it, that's one.
Being the killer. And I give her a lot of credit, because she got interested in this case. She latched on to a theory that I find ridiculous, and a lot of people in the Ripper world find ridiculous. But a lot of other people buy into it, because that's the nature of this kind of crime, since we don't know. And Patricia decided to spend a lot of her own money and a lot of her time and her star power to research this and really look into it. And she got blasted by the Ripper community. They hated her. She is persona non grata, and I never understood that, because all she wanted to do was try to find the answer, which is all we were ever trying to do. She was just a lot more famous and more rich than all of us. I think Kelsey had a lot to do with that.
I think it was because she was an outsider coming in, into already established territory.
Welcome. That's what I say. Give me a fresh set of eyes. I believe it. I want the truth. I want to know what happened. If you want to give me a fresh set of eyes, I welcome it.
Well, that's just it, though. I mean, she did a lot of really good work, though I think that, she had already come to a conclusion. And
that's the problem.
And was trying to, find the evidence to support that conclusion rather than, going into it with an open mind.
And, a lot of people don't realize that when she put out her second edition, she corrected a lot of her mistakes in it. And what she did, and a lot of people, you kind of have to be on the inside of this world to know, she went out and sought out two of the most knowledgeable people in the world on this case and asked them to come on and help her correct her mistakes. She put on her big girl pants. She admitted where she was wrong, and she went and got the best. And I admire that. People don't want to give her credit for that. People hate me in that community, too, so that's...
No, but see, that's the earmarks of a good researcher, though, is, somebody willing to, own up to their mistakes and try to correct them and continue on. How many people who have lambasted her actually went to the trouble to read that second book?
None. And you're, right. And, you mentioned something earlier, Tim, that was... The problem with her initial book and her theory was that she went in with a theory and worked backwards to connect the dots outwardly. You can't do history like that, because you're going to make excuses for things that don't necessarily line up. You're going to, and most people are guilty of that. They want something to be so true that they'll forgive that, it doesn't really add up, but we'll go with it, because 2 and 2 can be 3, right? So that's the problem with working backwards.
Question I have as we explore the possibilities of this is that we can't even agree on what happened yesterday. Check the news. We can't agree on what happened yesterday. There'll be different versions from different news sources. So now we're looking at something that happened, 125, 130 years ago, whatever it was, and we're trying to find the real facts behind it. How is that going to be possible?
And the other thing is, like you said, we can't know what was real yesterday. Read the news. You can't trust newspaper reports always on things. Anybody who's researched things knows that, sadly. They're a good guideline, and if you can find things that match up, that's one thing. But you're talking about sensationalist journalism. So it's going to be really tough, but it keeps it's a mystery that we'll never know. That's why it's so intriguing to people. That's why we still want to look. We still want to dig for everything.
The thing that's interesting to me, too, in terms of that era, in this country, in America particularly, newspapers tried to outdo each other for circulation, and they made up stories, and that makes it all the more difficult, for example, to find out the real facts behind the 1897 airship sightings, because you have to separate the fakery from the reality. Did British newspapers have that same proclivity?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I think that's the one constant. Sensational journalists tend to be the same. Because it's a business. They're selling a newspaper. I'll tell you something funny I learned through my research of that time. In London in 1888, people were fascinated with the American West, the Wild West. And they had these Wild West shows, and they would write these newspaper articles about these Wild West shows coming straight from the American West, and this is what they do for entertainment in there. But in America, in the West, at that same time, the most popular theater was Shakespeare. The most popular drink at Western bars was not sarsaparilla or whiskey. We found menus from these places. It was gin fizzies. The drink of the cowboy was the gin fizzy.
Well, you always wondered here, too. You have these hard-drinking criminals, these hard-drinking marshals, and as soon as they got up there and they had to do a shootout, they had to pull out their gun from the holster and shoot the other guy. They were perfect. Clint Eastwood never missed anyone. He was always perfect. Never missed a shot. The guy was so perfect. But he also drank things in the course of it. But then, listen, we've got Brian and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News.
Huawei and ZTE are no longer allowed to sell communications equipment in the United States. The FCC voted unanimously to approve the new rule. It's also restricting the use of some China-made video surveillance equipment. Police in Chesapeake, Virginia released a so-called death note written by the gunman Andre Bing sometime before he fatally shot six people at the Walmart where he worked as a supervisor before turning the gun on himself. The gun used during the Tuesday night incident was purchased legally. Adobe says $9.12 billion was spent online during Black Friday. The analytics company says expect more money to be spent over the course of this weekend. Award-winning actress and singer Irene Cara has died at her home in Florida. The voice behind Fame and Flashdance was 63 years old. We're online at usaradio.com. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're getting here to try to figure out what really happened in the late 19th century in Victorian England about Jack the Ripper. What if it was all, at the end of the day, something that was made up? They took a few cases and they made up this legend and there could never be a reality. Is that the possibility?
It's absolutely a possibility. It is possible that there were murder victims related to gang violence or just industrial accidents, whatever. There could have been just some angry murderer, you know, domestic disputes, and the press ran with it. I don't think so, though. I think in this case there was a serial killer, for lack of a better word. There was someone targeting these people in a vicious manner for reasons we don't know. We'll never know why he did it, or she. There are people who say there was a Jill the Ripper, not Jack.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. A Jill the Ripper instead of a Jack the Ripper. Why would anyone think that? I mean, I could see it being a possibility.
Well, you know, one of the people who famously said there could have been a woman was Arthur Conan Doyle.
Hmm.
Yes, the author of Sherlock Holmes himself would have said, you know, it would have been very easy for a midwife to walk through the streets of London covered in blood without anybody noticing her. And a conspiracy is born.
Well, plus a midwife would know where all the organs are, too.
True. So there have been people over the years who believed it could have been a woman. I believe there was a killer. Maybe it could have been two people working together. Probably not. That targeted these unfortunate people, eviscerated them, and were either caught or killed, or escaped and went even crazier if it was done. But there was definitely violent crime in the area. Could the media have overhyped it? Yes. But we do have enough of these reports from the police in the mortuary photos to show that this was not your run-of-the-mill murder. There was something to this.
How wide an area did these things occur? In that very restricted area or in other places?
Of these canonical five, were all in East End of London. In probably a couple square mile area. I could actually pull up a map and tell you the exact, but that would involve you hearing me type, and that's really embarrassing because I'm a slow typer. But
they were really close together.
Absolutely. It was primarily in Spitalfields and Whitechapel were the two little districts in the East End of London where this happened. Within blocks of each other.
So the killer doesn't like to walk very far.
No. Or, you know, you're doing these crimes at night with heavy police presence after the first couple murders. In fact, the night of the double event, the second murder, which took part in Mitre Square, which was kind of an open park square area, the murder and evisceration and mutilation was done probably within a 10-minute time frame, because we have the reports of the police that were patrolling the area of when the one checked in and then when the body was found. It was just a matter of a few minutes in the pitch black that this happened. And because of researchers that are obsessed with this kind of thing, we have those reports, those little minuscule things like the minutes of a police report of every 10 minutes on these nights. It's really amazing what we've been able to find over the years.
Were there any possible sightings, descriptions of the perpetrator?
There were. There were people who had reported seeing people, whether it was the killer or not.
Mm-hmm.
There were eyewitness accounts that tend not to match between suspects. So we don't know. It's possible. I think the closest we came to someone seeing them was the Liz Stride murder in the alleyway that was interrupted. I think if Louis Deemshitz, the cab driver, was Garrett Shriver was a minute or two earlier, he would have actually caught Jack in the end. They were that close.
Unfortunate misses, then.
Although, not for the researchers. Because it's given us 130 years of, for lack of a better term,
so were there other cases outside of London that occurred afterwards that some researchers have said, you know, these look an awful lot like Ripper killings?
There were. There was in the United States, as a matter of fact, in New York City. And ironically, one of the killings that had been referred to in the press as a very Jack the Ripper-like killing, and the description of it as a very Jack the Ripper-like killing, happened within a few blocks of the office of Dr. Francis Tumblety.
Hmm.
So, again,
there's that name again.
He comes back into the picture all the time. But, yeah, there were Ripper-like killings reported throughout different areas in the United States, in Mexico, in Germany, in Australia. Now, a lot of that could be copycat killers. It could be, you know, but no, people are reading about these crimes. You know, sad to say, some people emulate them. So it's tough to try to connect the dots there. It'd be great if we could, but it's really difficult. sadly, there were in many countries rivers.
But they never got the attention until after the Ripper killings, just because that became the poster child of yellow journalism at the time.
Well, exactly, and ironically, there was a series of murders in London right after the Ripper killings that are called the Thames Torso Murders. They were finding torsos. Just pretty brutal. But the Thames Torso Murder doesn't roll off the tongue like Jack the Ripper. I mean, it was, if you think about it, this was, because, like I said, most people believe it was a journalist who came up with the name, and that letter that gave him the trade name, as he says in the letter. And it works. It was a name that was to never be forgotten once it was uttered. You can't forget something like that. So, Gene, to your question, in a sense, yeah, the media created the sensation, but the killing did happen.
So our listeners are going to be really mad at us if we don't continue the story that we had started with a couple of breaks ago about the 1920 cryptids.
Oh, the Mothman sighting! Yeah,
yes, yeah, yeah. We need to continue with that.
Yes, right, we can never give up on the Mothman.
No,
because everywhere there's a Mothman. In Illinois, there's a Mothman in the Chicago suburb, and certainly at Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and certainly we've got Brian and Tim and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
This is Being the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Okay, so Mothman didn't start in the 1960s in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. They started earlier. Brian, tell us more.
So, like I said, in my hometown of the Tonawandas in western New York, and for those listening, Tonawanda is the northernmost tip of Erie County, which is where Buffalo is. Second largest city in New York State is Buffalo. North Tonawanda is the very first city in Niagara County, which is the county that contains Niagara Falls, the fourth largest city in the state.
You know what happened? I'm corrupted. When I hear someone say Niagara Falls, I think of the old vaudeville joke that Abbott and Costello would use.
Slowly I turn.
Right. Slowly I turn, step by... I don't want to hear that. Go ahead, please.
Inch by inch, but I'll continue. Well, Tonawanda, North Tonawanda, is a pretty historic little community that most people have never heard of. It is, like I said, the northern tip of Erie County, the southern tip of Niagara County. It's also where the Erie Canal ends. The Erie Canal, the man-made canal that linked the Atlantic Ocean to the Great Lakes. Via the Hudson River, the Erie Canal connected to the Great Lakes. Making all the trade and transport, that's why these cities built up so big at the time. That's why Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo all became these booming cities. North Tonawanda at the time was the lumber capital of the world. Also, North Tonawanda is famous because they invented the carousel. Herschel Stowman Carousel came from North Tonawanda, New York. And another product you might all have heard of, Wurlitzer. Of Wurlitzer organ and jukebox fame. North Tonawanda, New York. Well, in 1920, in the summer of 1920, there were several reports throughout the newspapers of this flying cryptid. They didn't call it that at the time, obviously. It was most commonly referred to at the time of a flying scarecrow. Other people claimed it was a flying Indian, Native American, which lended itself, as I'm sure you could tell by the name, Tonawanda in North Tonawanda. This was Native territory. Tonawanda is Seneca, or swift running water, is what the name means. It was part of the Iroquois, original Five Nations. Was this area. So there were a lot of Native American legends and lore. And when this strange flying creature appeared over a period of 10 days, it wasn't just once, over a period of 10 days in the summer of 1920, some people reported it had a headdress on, like a native. Other people reported it was a flying scarecrow that floated as much as it flew. My favorite report, and I love this one, the North Tonawanda Bicycle Group. A group of people that were part of a bicycle club allegedly chased it down and surrounded it. They had it cornered, and it flew away, just lifted up in the air and flew away. Over the years, the descriptions people read realized, the descriptions of this thing and its pattern are identical to a lot of the Mothman sightings, including those in Point Pleasant. So 1920, my hometown might have had the original moth. And I have been searching for everything I can find on this, which is very limited and very difficult to find. Just imagine, Mothman, pre-moth.
So did this thing have wings like the purported Mothman sightings? So, I mean, you've said it was described as looking like a scarecrow or a Native American. I mean,
feathers.
Yeah.
One of the things that's reported is having feathers. Some people have reported, like I said, of the reports, one of the people who filed a report was a policeman, believe it or not. Not saying that that makes it any more credible, but sounds good to say it. But they report feathers coming from either its head or its back. Hence why some people said, oh, it's one of the natives, one of the Native American chieftains or whatever with the headdress on. Other people just saw things sticking out of it and saw it as a scarecrow. Because, you know, in a lot of farm communities in the 20s, that's what it would look like to them. I don't know what it was. I know that it did last 10 days. I know it was reported in several different papers, and several different people had claimed to see this. It didn't cause any harm, and nothing bad happened. But apparently it was a trickster, and it liked to swoon down on people. It allegedly stopped all traffic in the area at times. The whole community would stop and see this thing. And 10 days later, it was gone, never to return.
Okay, since you're a former PsyCop guy, let me ask the obvious question. Then, was the only source of information about the 1920 Mothman the newspapers of the day, or what?
Unfortunately, yes. That's what makes it tough. I have not been able to find anything other than temporary newspaper accounts. I've been looking. I actually mentioned a local author and researcher, Mason Winfield, who I've got to reach out to. I've got to reach out to him and see what other information he's been able to dig out over the years. Because I think it's an interesting thing to look into. Not whether or not this thing was real, but the fact that there were people seeing these things or thought they were seeing strange flying things into as far back as the 20s. And what could it have been that they were seeing? It's fascinating. Do I think it was Mothman? I don't know. I don't know what it was. But either way, it's very interesting little tidbit of our history that no one ever talks about. It's not widely known. Even people in this area, when I say, you know, we had a Mothman sighting back in 1920, they all look like
Now, you mentioned before that North Tonawanda was a center of certain products. Today, it's got a population of barely over 30,000. So has that manufacturing base mostly disappeared or what?
Yeah, the lumber industry's gone. Obviously, the carousels aren't made here anymore. We still do have the original plant and a museum. And Wurlitzer effectively is a pretty non-existent company now. You know, their heyday has come and gone. I don't live in North Tonawanda near there anymore. I I'm still in Western New York, but not there. My brother, ironically, still lives. And it's very pleasant little quaint city now. Like you said, not a big population, 30-some thousand people. It's doing better than Niagara Falls, which is just up the road. Niagara Falls, U.S., has been hit much harder economically, the loss of industry. But North Tonawanda is a nice little blue-collar community still.
Niagara Falls, does that still serve as a center for many weddings, or is that gone too?
You don't see it as much. It's no longer the honeymoon capital of the world. Niagara Falls, Canada is beautiful still and completely built up and just this fantastic area, and it's magnificent, and there's a touristy area. There's this place called Clifton Hill, which is exactly like Piccadilly Circus in London. I've been to both. I've walked both, and they're identical. It's great. But the U.S. side is a pretty depressed, dilapidated area. Outside of its fairly large casino and the actual park right around the falls themselves, there's very little in the city of Niagara Falls anymore. It's a pretty depressing city.
Step by step, Niagara Falls has faded. Don't ask me to repeat that again. You have to actually look it up, maybe on YouTube, and see how the sketch works, because it was done in many different ways, with different actors, with the same end result. Craziness. Gene, Brian, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.